Moving to order, this is a quarterly meeting of the Volunteer Firefighter Pension Plan. If you would stand, please, for a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this time, I was going to introduce the new member of the board, which is Richard Stevens. I think he may be out on the call. He replaces John Picard, who left us a couple of months ago.
Okay. And Charlie, he just, at least temporarily, is going to fill the remaining term until...
I've got a letter here from the Volunteer Corporation that places him to finish the term of Picard. That term expires April 30th, and then we will renew that, as will everyone here will have to, all trustees will have to be renewed if they want to be. We had the minutes, everybody received the minutes of 9 November. Okay. Anybody want to make a motion to accept the minutes?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yes?
Aye.
Okay. By the way, Kate, on the roll call, please.
Yes. Chair Charles Esposito?
Here.
Vice Chair Timothy Wiltsy?
Here.
Board Member Daniel Brazzano?
Here.
Board Member Robert Schroeder? And Board Member Richard Stevens?
Okay. Note that we have a quorum.
We have a quorum.
Okay. Chris, you want to do the financial report?
Sure. Nothing terribly exciting for the quarter. We did make a little bit of money, which is nice.
For a change.
A little over $57,000. We had our normal pension distributions and a few expenses. Primarily legal expenses, our annual fiduciary liability policy for the board, and then the normal quarterly fees that are done by the league for managing plan assets. Mm-hmm. So the report is attached. Of course, our budget report is on the second page, and as we're just getting the year started, we're well below our annual budget. Kind of excerpts of the quarterly report are in the next couple of pages. We've also included the final signed September 30th budget that we had, that the board had adopted. It's about 5 pages in, just for everybody's edification. And then copies of all the invoices, which we'll be asking the board to approve today. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, there's a couple of additional schedules.
Do you want to approve those expenses now?
Sure, if you'd like to.
Anybody want to make a motion to accept the invoices for payment?
I'll make a motion to accept the invoices.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
All right.
Aye. Aye. Okay.
Okay, thank you. A couple of additional interesting documents. The league sent an updated fee schedule. I was struggling to really find what was different as it relates to us. Oh, is Mr. Schroeder?
Oh, Bob.
So I don't.
Kate, would you note that Mr. Schroeder showed up, please?
Yes.
But it's really there just for board viewing purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We also received a letter from the Division of Retirement, which was kind of interesting. It came in December, where they've accepted all of our reports and actuarial impact statements from 2013, 14, and 15. That's about maybe 10 pages in. And we haven't seen one of these in a while, so I just kind of brought it before the board.
Is this the one to Bob Shrove?
This is the one to Bob Shrove.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So that's all good news, of course. Good news for Doug, too, since he's here.
Good news, Doug.
Okay.
Yes.
Hopefully they disappear now for another 3 years.
Right. And other than that, and obviously Doug's here to go over the annual actuarial evaluation.
Right.
That's the extent of the finance report for the quarter.
Anybody have any questions with regard to this?
No. If I could ask the board to just approve the finance report.
I'll make a motion to approve the finance report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And
Doug, are you ready to tell us what you've got?
I am. I'm gonna pass these down.
Hold on a second.
Down there.
Sure.
Charlie has on, he said it might not print it properly, so just fire this thing up and it'll ask for a passcode. It's 1111. Chris, do you have yours in your iPad or do you need
actually
want to follow along in one of these?
I'll share with Stacy. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I got plenty here, so
that's okay.
Doug, you want to take us through this page by page? Is that how it's going?
No.
Okay.
I'll take you through the main pages, the highlights, and then depending on the questions, I can dig down a little farther.
Okay.
Do you ladies have one, or I can give
you
an iPad?
I didn't get it, so she's forwarding it to me. I just got it, yeah.
I was going to say, I have it.
Well, here, why don't you do that? Just if it takes you a while, then this is available for you.
I got the printout here for you. Is that what you're looking for?
I have it.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's just
good.
Downloading.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, so it's on page 5. That's where it should have opened up.
Yep.
And don't panic. For the first time ever, it looks like there would be an actuarial requirement. You'll see that number. You're used to seeing zeros, right?
Mm-hmm.
Balance
of the
city.
Right.
$2,540.
Mm-hmm.
I say don't panic because remember when that ordinance was passed a few years ago that split the state monies that had built up over time. Remember, it's a huge, like $1.5 million. 80% went to the share plan and 20% was held back city reserve.
Mm-hmm.
That reserve is still $301,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it took practically every possible thing that could cause a cost increase to happen for you even to pop up for a $2,000 requirement.
And that's in 2018.
And that's right. This is not for the current year. It's for fiscal 18. So beginning October 1st, 2017. The city still needs to put nothing in. Out of the $301,000, we'll just take $2,500 off of it.
Squeak by.
Yeah, I mean, here's why this plan is so well funded. It's still over 130% funded. I mean, you have much more in the way of assets than you have in liabilities. Liability meaning today's value of checks to be cashed in the future. First, your four-year smooth average came in under 7%. We assume 7.65. Okay, so you had an actuarial loss on investment side. You had nowhere near the turnover you've been having. You mm-hmm. still had slight turnover gains, but you remember in the past, we'd come back and say, well, you guys lost like 10, 15, 20 people in yeah. turnover. And so what happens is they leave. Whatever the city was funding for them stays in the plan. They get nothing. And then they're replaced by people with zero service.
And that goes back into the reserve account.
Right. So you didn't have as near the turnover, so that was pretty much a push. And there's new mortality mandated by the state. The state passed a law almost 2 years ago that said, we expect everybody to live longer.
They guarantee that?
No. Guarantee nothing. The only guarantee we have is they reviewed the 15 report and said we're good. So, yeah, we're. So we now have to assume that the volunteer firefighters live longer. I don't have an exact number, but it's probably 3 to 5 years.
Pay attention, Steve.
I'm listening.
And finally, we lower the investment assumption from 7.65 to 7. When you lower the investment assumption, That means you expect assets to do less work, so you need other sources of revenue to cover it. Okay? So all of those things combined barely pushed an actuarial requirement that's different than zero. Okay? So going forward now, we have more conservative assumptions, so it should be harder in the future to tell the city that they might owe something. And by the way, they won't, because we've got that not only do we have the $300,000, there's also another safeguard that the state monies that the city can use right now for funding the plan is $144,000, but the amount that's coming in every year is much greater than that. Let me give you that number real quick.
So 240?
Yeah, well, this last year it was 273, which actually was lower than the year before. But so if for some odd reason down the road the $300,000 gets burned up, you still have another safeguard where the money's coming in every year in August and October. They could be tapped into with an agreement between the firefighters and the city. But that is an outside scenario.
Why wouldn't we deal with that now instead of
that's
a balance to the city, but take up the frozen amount?
Well, because you've got the $301,000 in reserve already in the plan.
Yeah, but
it's up to the city how it wants to. The easiest route is the city just uses $2,500 out of the $301,000, and they don't have to negotiate, they don't have to discuss. It's already been determined by ordinance that it's the city's money. If instead the desire is to increase the $144,000 to some other level and not put as much into the share, that will require negotiation. That will require a mutual agreement between the firefighters and the city. So the answer is one's easy, requires no agreement. The other requires a consensus.
Yeah, and from the city's standpoint, that $300,000 is almost like an emergency amount of money, you know, from the city's thinking. So my suggestion would be that we look at other options to erase the $2,500 or whatever in the future, because I know it's there and it was kind of set aside as a hey, in worst case catastrophic situation we have this money, and that's kind of how it's viewed. So it's fine for this actuarial report, but I think to make sure we don't have it in the future, I think our discussion needs to be what are our options to do that? Do we raise the state, the frozen amount or whatever we have to do to cover that? We're really talking about minuscule amounts of money here. Even if you rose, increase the frozen amount $5,000 a year, it has a minimal impact on anything going on in the share plan.
Right. That's correct.
Did this happen because, I know it's a minimal amount, but did this happen because we lowered our assumption?
It had more to do with the mortality change. Okay. And lowering the investment assumption did contribute, but the mortality change was the big hitter.
Okay. And we can't control that, so.
No, that's a one-time event.
I mean, technically.
Well,
this hard.
I can tell you where you tell your retirees to go and retire. We've got a plan where the mortality experience is. There must be something in the water. Just stay away from cocoa, in case you're wondering.
Okay.
So, but what's going to happen? In theory, another 5 years from now, maybe more. The mortality rates could go up a little bit again. I mean,
they could.
Because people are living longer. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
The state is getting into the assumption business, by the way. They did the mortality mandate. Now they're messing around with the investment assumption. There's no mandate down the road, but the fact that they're even discussing telling these types of plans what they can and can't use on investment return has me a little concerned. The other item, too, is The number of firefighters in the plan right now, you know, it's been pretty low over the years. 37 right now. It's been as high as 45 a few years back. If there's ever a big increase in the number of volunteer firefighters, that will increase the likelihood that the city has to put something in, unless you increase the amount of state money that is used to pay for that.
And I think the key here is that we're getting the state money. It's just a matter of how we're allocating.
Correct.
Okay. Is that frozen amount set by the board, or is that something that's set by the state?
It's negotiation between the firefighters and the city.
It used to be, it originally came from the state, I think, way back
yes.
when. And we just adopted that number going forward. So it's just something that we, between the firefighters and the city, can really change anytime.
Well, we've had a couple of races in the frozen amount.
Yes, over the years. Yeah. It was in the 120s, I remember, at one point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, those were triggers under old state law. Right. Now it can be whatever you all agree to.
That's the best part of it for us, is that we can just figure out what that number needs to be and take action and agreement on it, and we're done. You know, mm-hmm. One of the other things that, and Doug, I thought about this the other night, and I don't know if this is reasonable or not, but you know, we have every year we have a certain amount of plan forfeitures that happen because people don't vest for one
yeah.
reason or another.
Mm-hmm.
Could we do something with that also to support this?
Yeah.
Like redirect some of the plan forfeitures?
Yes. We have a fire plan that all these plans, by the way, police and fire, have a share plan now. Some are funded and some aren't. We've got one where the forfeitures don't reallocate to the other members. It reallocates to the district. In this case, it would be the city. So it would require an ordinance change.
In that particular case.
But yes, you see, you get turnover, and every year we're holding it. If somebody comes in the plan, we begin holding share monies for them. They begin accruing it. And if they leave non-vested, then those monies allocate to everybody else in the share plan who's accruing a benefit. So you could do an ordinance change, which simply transfers the forfeiture back to the city side, and you could either just leave it in assets, which writes down your unfunded liability even more, but the unfunded is already negative.
Right.
Or you could direct it to the city reserve. So the $301,000 could grow every year with forfeitures.
Or we can maybe start with splitting it.
Correct.
You know, the sum goes to cover the defined benefit portion, and so, you know, if needed, and the rest of it can go back into the share plan.
Mm-hmm.
So
what you're saying, the driver here is mortality rate.
For, you mean the reason why there's...
Yeah.
That's the biggest one.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah.
Which means that it's not a negative, but that's going to be more impacting as time goes on. Each time they adjust that, it's going to go, and it's going to affect the defined benefit.
Well,
and there would be the time, but looking at what we were planning to do with that reserve, and the city wanted the $300,000 and thing, and I always looked at that as, the city at any time can determine that they want to end the program. Right? With mortality going the way it is, if you don't keep current, you can't provide the present recipients of the pension as the mortality rate goes up. For some, it'll have to either take down the reserve completely, or we can supplement it with the reserve. In other words, if we got to a problem where the city says, hey, you're starting to encroach, and we have to kick in. We say, no, we have this reserve out there. And then you have a year's worth of coverage if you need it, or maybe more, out of that $300,000. And that's what I looked at it. It's not as picking the little pieces apart if you needed it. I would rather take a look at, and I don't think it's something we have to deal with today.
No.
Right now, because it's basically not impacting at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can stay with what we have, and perhaps a little bit down the road start to look at what's likely to be happening, and so that we're prepared for it.
Well, Doug, can I circle back around with you? Do you mind after the meeting and ask you to kind of model a couple of scenarios for us for board discussion?
Sure.
For future, is that
yep.
okay?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Is that work for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Doug, quick question on this.
Yeah.
If with things as they are, status quo, What did you look? I know that the mortality rate probably shouldn't adjust for another 3 to 5 years. Is this going to pretty much stay the same, or is it going to grow? Or if things stay the same, in your opinion,
the investment side, you might get some losses in the next couple of years. You still have prior losses that have to work their way in.
Right.
But that shouldn't be a real big impactor.
Okay.
So really what it has to do with going forward is turnover, as before, and the number of members you have in the plan. Like I said, we have 37. If I come back next year and find out there's 50, that might have you might even have favorable experience, but increasing above 37, I don't know where the break-even point is. But that might say, oh, well, the city's got a requirement just because you have more members in the plan.
Is that something you could model also?
Those are projections. We would run a baseline into the future and assume we meet all assumptions and we keep the same 37. And then we could compare that to any number, say, well, Doug, run a model where we hire an extra 5 per year.
Okay.
Or 10 per year. So, and we run that out for 10 years and let's see what it looks like.
Kind of know approximately where our land. Well, that would be interesting to know, too.
And this would be the assumption that all the additional people would vest, obviously.
Well, we would run through all the assumptions for turnover, life expectancy, and so on. The good news on the life expectancy part here is this new assumption every year assumes even greater life expectancy.
Right.
It's automatically built in.
Okay.
So on the
that's why it has such an impact then.
On the life expectancy side, it's going to be easier for you to get actuarial gains in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, for police and fire plans, don't think that the average retiree will live as long as the assumption says.
Okay.
Cool. Who knows?
Kelly,
but conservative assumptions, those are better than aggressive. You know, conservative means you have a better chance of meeting your target. So.
My feeling after kind of digesting this last night is I think we have a lot of options of ways to deal with this fairly easily. So I think I'll just move that. Discuss that at upcoming meetings. I think so.
Yeah. Anybody else have anything? Are you finished with your...
The final point is your funded status. A year ago was 138%. And that's just a ratio. That means assets over today's value future.
Defined,
so you had $1.38 for every dollar of liability. You have $1.32 now for a dollar. So even with all of those hits, your funded status is still 132%.
Right, it's not a cash issue, it's just an actuarial issue. Like
correct.
I said.
So I'm done.
Any board member have anything they want to say about it?
No.
Can
I ask one more question? Doug, as far as the rate of return assumption, have you seen anything trending lower than 7% for pension plans now?
There are a few, but those are primarily closed plans.
Okay.
I have one open plan. Just city council is they're crazy, but the lowest I have is a 6.25 for an open plan.
Okay.
7's actually lower than average. The average right now is about 7.7, 7.6.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the Florida retirement system is 7.6.
Right.
These plans generally follow the big boys, FRS, California retirement system. Those, by the way, the Florida retirement system recently just lowered to 7.6. They're going to 7.5, and then they're going to hold. That's what they're saying right now. And originally, they were trying to get down to 7, and they stopped that. So I think the downward pressure is going to stop. We're in the mid-7s for most plans. You're at 7 now, so you're way ahead.
Way ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can keep it close to you for a little bit if it helps you feel better.
It really does. Okay. Bob, you got any comments?
No, I really.
Okay. That takes care of the biggest part of this.
I do want to say that Doug's report used to only be like 15 pages.
Yeah.
That's up to 52.
Now. It looks like a quarterly report.
Yeah.
Hey, if I could find a way to get rid of Gatsby, I would.
Well, when you do, let us know.
Man, making actuaries think like accountants is brutal.
So, in conclusion, Doug, there's nothing we need to do.
Well, approve the report, and then.
Yeah.
Other than that,
you've taken a look at it, you have no difficulties with it.
No.
Okay. Is the board, have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay. Dan, you've seen it?
Yep.
And Bob, you have?
Yep.
There's no questions?
No.
Okay. Accept. Make a motion to accept.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That, okay, that's a motion to accept the actual
report.
New business?
Yes, I have a question. In our regular business meetings, we've been discussing the new internship program and moving forward and how we're going to adjust bylaws versus, you know, different qualifications and things like that. And I kind of want to talk to the board about how this is going to affect, how do we approach this, you know, because I kind of need some feedback on that. How do we approach those requirements? What if we do have an intern that's coming in and they are becoming vested with our organization, they transfer to the career side, is that something that can follow them? You know, these are all questions I just kind of have open in the air. And I know that board or bylaw changes rather require to be presented to the board.
Yeah.
You know, I know the whole process for that, be voted on, et cetera, et cetera. Because we are going to have to develop basically two paths, you know, one that's going to accommodate someone who just wants to volunteer, and then the next one is for someone who's going to accommodate becoming a career person down the line.
Yeah, so they're going to fall short on the 5-year vesting
right.
when they hop over it.
So my question is, how do we address that?
Yeah.
How do we bring that to the membership?
I think it's going to take some talk and study and maybe some insight, really, into what the plan is
right.
and then how we can accommodate the plan.
Yeah, I think, you know, the if you don't mind, just
absolutely.
What Tim was saying, the general idea is that we would solicit, you know, I guess they don't have to be young, but that we would solicit, the discussion has been primarily younger men and women that want a career in the fire and emergency services, and part of their internship and training program would be to volunteer for, let's say, a couple of years. I'm assuming it's going to be 2 years. So during that 2-year period, they would be acting, going through all the volunteer training, basically acting like every other volunteer, with maybe some enhancements on what they do to prepare them for a career. So they're going to earn 2 years of credited service, in theory at least, and then they're going to become a full-time, hopefully, become a full-time firefighter after that point. So how do we deal with the fact that they've earned a couple of years of credited service, are not really leaving us because they're going over to, you know, the professional side, and not penalize them for losing their 2 years of, they may continue to work for another 10 years at the city. So we don't really necessarily want to penalize them for losing their 2 years of earned credited service under the plan.
Do they move into a different pension plan?
They do.
They do?
They do. Yep,
I'm just thinking of how do we incentivize to make it more attractive for someone to do this program.
Right, because if they're going to work 2 years for nothing,
right.
You know, during this program, essentially. But, you know, they would at least earn the you know, not huge necessarily, but they're going to earn some pension benefits. And some of this might be a legal question too, because you know we have issues with our current share plan is not really rollable. Mm-hmm. You know, the city does have a 457 plan though, and our share plan is a 457 type plan. But I don't know if there's any synergy there. So it may be as much a legal question also as it is a you know board wrangling discussion as to you know. What can we do, or do we have to have another sub-plan within our plan that allows us to accumulate funds for these people and that they would roll over into their professional 457 plan or something. I'm just throwing stuff out here that off the top of my head. I don't know the answer to any of this stuff. One of the things I did think about was, although this doesn't bring any money with them, is that the new firefighters could potentially start at the city with vesting of the time that they were a volunteer. So if they were a volunteer for 3 years, they start in the city's retirement plan already 3 years vested. You know, so that's one way we can deal with it. But that doesn't give them any...
Boy, why would the other plan accept that?
You know, the city would do that as part of this program. I think that they would consider that because there's no money involved.
So it's not monetary.
It's not monetary. It's simply saying, sure, your 3 years of vesting.
Well, if it's earning credit under the professional system, yeah, it's going to cost.
So
they're going to be paying for 3 years and never collect it.
Well, yeah, but the city doesn't have that kind of program.
Awesome.
It's only based on actual earnings that you when you get paid. So there's a 10-year new firefighters have a 10-year vesting on their contributions that go into their plan right now. So they would start with a 8-year vesting.
I think this requires a separate meeting.
And
after we have some information on how this upgrade system is going to work.
And I think we're going to definitely need Scott involved.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, even okay.
So the rollover, any type of retirement plan aside, you're saying that if a volunteer goes into the career or professional side, whatever time he served as a volunteer could essentially go with him, so he wouldn't start as a zero-day employee. He would start as whatever he had 3 years.
From a vesting standpoint, that's definitely possible. Yeah, okay. We're going to be talking.
But that would require a change.
That would require a change
on the city side.
Because we don't roll over.
Well, that would change.
Which has nothing to do with the plan.
The city's.
No, I'm talking about the volunteer plan. If he had left after 2 years, he would. If he didn't go into full time, he would lose the 2 years. We're saying now. We could consider rolling over that 2 years into the city. Is that what you're saying?
It's possible, but I
understand what you're saying with the city doing it the opposite way, basically accruing for them for the 2 years, and if he leaves, he leaves. If he goes in, he's got 2 years and 8 more years to vest.
Well, 2 years of time served, but no monetary value.
Yeah. No monetary
value. So he's not bringing money from the volunteer side at all.
That's right.
With 2 years on his vest.
They're basically accruing, so to speak, on their side.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think I do think it's worth discussing. I'm not sure how many people we're really talking about here. I mean, maybe we're only talking about 6 people that ever go through this program.
Right.
But who knows? But I think it's worth talking about, especially considering the funded status of the plan. If there is some way to take that monetary benefit of pension that they earned and roll it into the city's program once they become a career firefighter, because I think that would have a very positive impact on encouraging people to do this internship program, because they're gonna, there's gonna be something for them other than they just gotta work for free for 2 years.
Right.
I'm just spitting stuff out here. So there's a lot to discuss, and I don't know, all the different ways that we may or may not have at our disposal to deal with that.
All right, so then we'll get some more information and we'll talk later about
it.
Have you seen anything like that before, then?
No. It's kind of unique.
Everything we do is the first time. Yeah.
Yeah. The pioneer principle.
It's because we have money.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. And if we do that, it'll also change the your assumptions with respect to the forfeitures. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Not the assumption so much, but
the
actual experience would change. Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting concept as you're thinking of a roundabout way of taking some of the overfundedness of this plan and transferring it over as a means to encouraging people to go into full time service.
Yep.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yep. But I think you're right. I think we need to really.
Yeah.
Ponder that and think of it.
Got to establish a baseline, and then we can know what we're dealing with.
Right. Yeah.
But the concept is worthy.
Yeah.
the whole idea of a volunteer corporation going way back has been to be a training ground for a move into the professional or career sides, really.
Right.
And the volunteer corporations, I've always suffered the consequences of that. When you finally get somebody trained, they're good enough to go for a full-time job, right. And they go. And then you start your retraining process all over again.
With just one more question, does the city itself not have an intern program? I mean, why is the volunteer side creating an intern program to go into the firefighters? Why doesn't the firefighters have their own intern?
The city as a whole has an internship program in every department. Mm-hmm. And the fire department is utilizing the volunteers because it's an untapped resource. Mm-hmm. You know, our volunteers are just as trained, you know, sometimes more than a lot of the career side. So why not utilize that resource to get people paid? Mm-hmm. You know, if that's the career path they want to take, why not take advantage of it? And that's why we've been talking for the past couple of months about the internship program.
Okay.
It's just because we have the resource, why not utilize it? Mm-hmm. And another thing is the high school is implementing a fire program. It's a 4-year program, so they start at freshman at senior. They graduate with fire 1 and 2, I believe, and then possibly EMT if they get that far along, which means that in 4 years from now, our volunteers are now competing with all the high school graduates for a job. So why not utilize that, put them on a fast track to where in 12 months, 24 months, we can start getting some people hired to fill the openings that are at the city, which they have several, and use our resources to do that before we're competing with graduating seniors. So, and plus you want people to live here and work here because they grow roots here and they stay. You know, whereas if you hire people from all over the state, then they have one home at some point. So.
And I think that's a big key, Tim, because you know the biggest amount of turnover we've had, particularly in the fire department, is because we're hiring people that are not Palm Coast residents.
Right.
And if we can get people who are Palm Coast residents and invested in the community and come through the school system or come through our training programs, it will be more likely that they will stay.
It makes sense. The volunteers would be homegrown.
Right. They'd be homegrown and they would stay and they'd be part of the community, and the overall costs of personnel will go down because we won't have to deal with the turnover.
I mean,
there's a lot of positives, I think, to it.
They're willing to do it for free now. Why not pay them? Mm-hmm. You know, so.
Any other comments?
No.
Okay. Tim, if you can come up with some ideas on what this transition is going to look like, then we can probably call a special meeting to sit down and discuss it.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. Have some information on some of our retirees. Issue Pastor Ruby. His wife passed away, and he was thinking about changing his beneficiary plan. And it turns out it's not a good deal for him to do that. He tried it with his son, and the son being so much younger than his wife, it really cost him a lot of money if he went through it. So he withdrew him on that, and he's keeping his plan the way it was. Also, and you'll be aware of this one, Anthony Forte has left. And he queried me about his status as far as the pension plan goes. And I told him that he was not eligible. And after reviewing his records, I told him he was not eligible because he's not vested. And he got 4 years. And he asked for more information. So I culled his record, and I showed him the years he was in, and the number of years he qualified, and the number of years that he did not qualify, and he stands at 4 qualified years. And he's asked for further information. So what I've done is I pulled the qualification sheets for every year, where we give his statistics and all that, and I'm going to provide that to him, if you have no problem with that.
Is there something I need to do on the fire side? Is there some records I need to pull or anything? Or
no, I pulled them all. I went over to the warehouse and pulled the stuff. Your records, in other words, your qualification sheets that you make up on every one of your individuals.
Right.
And I pulled his out of that, made copies of it, which I'll give him. I don't see anything proprietary about
sure.
it.
Right.
Okay. Trustee school. The state is having one. Anybody interested? Here's the data on it. You're not interested.
No, I got it. I get it.
You've been there and done that, right?
No. Actually, I may be able to go up there to Tallahassee for sure. Because it normally that thing interferes with my spring meetings of one of my professional groups. Mm-hmm. And this year it didn't.
So, have you heard anything more from Scott? We had talked about him putting on one of his trustee training things at City Hall.
Yeah, he's scheduled to do that in May.
But we're still definitely doing that?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't heard any update on who he was going to invite.
It was a little confusing to me between Scott doing it and the League of Cities said they were going to do it as well. Yeah. So I checked with, how was his name from the League of Cities? Whatever it was, I checked with the League of Cities, and they clarified the fact that they weren't preparing anything because at that meeting we had said that Scott would do it, and going back into the minutes, it states there that Scott says he would make one up for, I think it was the May meeting, and we can confirm that with him.
I know we had the time in the room set aside. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't hear any number of how many people he thought was going to come.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you got any feedback on that.
By the way, the board term, which is just where we all expire at the same time, we're good until the 30th of April, at which time Dan, you, and I will have to fill out, if you want to do it,
yeah,
form with the city.
I've got the
and
form.
Tim, it'll have to be through the volunteer organization, and then we get together and confirm it with Bob. So we'll have to do that next month. Okay? And that's good for you, Barbara. She done. Oh, there you are. that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Any other old business? No. I got one issue, Doug, and a question I had put to you. I had asked you the board had a question about the distribution of the period 2002 to 2014 and then the period of 2015 under the share plan. And I asked you to look, because you're the guy that deals with all this, and let me know if there was any inconsistency in the methodology between the 2002 to 2014 and the way we did it in 2015. Okay. And you have any comment with regard to that?
I know there was some. You've had a concern along the way that the initial allocation should have been, your thought was one way, but the ordinance turned out to be
excluding that. When I made up the 15 thing, I was not aware of the requirement in the ordinance.
Yeah.
And I'm not questioning that. We've been through that. That ordinance is the ordinance. But when I proposed the 2015, I wasn't aware of the fact that we had that formula. And up to that point, just...
I looked through the chain of emails and the history, and you've always been consistent with what your understanding was or how it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
So you've always described it and educated based on a consistent message. It just turned out that the ordinance ended up being a little bit different.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any other questions? Any other issues?
Okay, Stacy,
I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to step into that.
Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.